I invite you to listen with me for a reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Now in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me, if you will. God of grace, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and redeemer. We pray. Amen. It's a question that we must answer every day, whether we consciously think of it or not. Who am I? Who will I be today? What am I called to be? What am I called to do? When we are young, I think we answer that question with simply to grow up. Our calling for the day is to learn to walk or to talk or to run or to play or to read and write and add and subtract. As we grow, then we turn perhaps more towards our vocational identities, our vocational purpose. How will we provide? How will we pay rent and buy groceries and clothes and such? And after we accomplish that way of subsistence, the question still lingers. Who am I? Who am I? What is my purpose? What is my meaning here? And we continue to wonder, is there something more than paying our mortgage and buying groceries and clothes and such? And that becomes the journey of our life, the question that reoccurs throughout our life, throughout our week, throughout the day, perhaps. We look in all sorts of places to help find an answer to that question. High and low, sometimes we look in books, and some look in universities, and some look at the workplace, and some look at the mall, and some look at the gym, and some look at the sports field, and some look in dark alleys, and some look in gangs, and some look in bottles and pills, and some look in the church. Who am I? Who are you? Who are we? What are we called to do, to be? Brian McLaren shared with us last week the theory that in our growing, in our evolution as a species, that at some point our brain made a shift, and that space in our brain that was once filled with instinct became filled with an imitation process. That no longer do we just know how to walk within hours of our birth like others, or know to fly south to get out of the cold. It's something that we must learn. Instead, we learn by imitating. We watch others and see how they are surviving. How do they communicate? How do they find who they are? And we imitate. We imitate from them. We learn perhaps from their journeys. We seek to find those who have a clear sense of their identity, a clear sense of their purpose, and we look not to imitate their answer, but to imitate their method. How did they figure it out? What did they do to discover their way? That's one thing that we have in common here today. We have all chosen to look today in the same place. We have come here looking, hoping, wondering if, when, maybe this is a place where we can remember who we are, because sometime this week we might have forgotten. We come here wondering if this is a place where we might find who we are and what might propel us through tomorrow and the next. And that makes us not so different than those who lived some 2,000 years ago. We heard of them in these scriptures for today. Now, at the church at Antioch, there were prophets and there were teachers. Sometimes we think of the first century Palestine, and we think of the Sea of Galilee with a simple little boat upon it, or we think of a wilderness with a fig tree and not much else, or we think of a little village and dusty paths, living a primitive form of existence. But that's not the case in Antioch. Antioch is a great metropolis. It's a city in the first century that has 500,000 people. It's the same size as Omaha 2,000 years ago. It was a major trade route for spices, so that made it a major financial and a commerce city. It was a city of great diversity, with street lights and running water, a cosmopolitan place to be. And we hear of that diversity in the cast of characters. All we heard were their names, but by their names and that one or two word descriptor after them, we know that Barnabas was from Cyprus. That would make him a Greek speaking Jew. And that Simeon was from Africa. Lucius was from Cyrene. That's in Africa as well. That Manian was a Palestinian. He was Herodian. That would have made him a wealthy aristocrat. And Saul, who we know as Paul as well, he was a Hebraic Jew. He was a Roman citizen. What diversity there is in this leadership. There's diversity racially and ethnically and nationally and socioeconomically. This roll call of the leadership of the church is quite diverse from one another as we are here, coming together, wondering themselves, who am I? Who are we? What is our purpose? And remembering and finding that. We know that in this story they found an answer to that, because at the end of their time together, it says that Paul and Barnabas were going forth to fulfill their purpose. The community has laid hands on them to bless them as they go forth, claiming with certitude who they are and what they are about. They understood their identity. They understood that it was the Holy Spirit working in that community that had clarified that for them. It was God's Spirit that had set them apart and that was sending them out. They knew that, and their method of learning was that they had listened together for God's Spirit. They had listened together for God's Spirit by worshiping together, by naming the presence of the Holy Divine that was in their midst. They listened for God's Spirit through prayer and through fasting. They listened for God's Spirit through the practices of their faith, through practicing prayers and presence and gifts and service and witness, through carving out time to gather with one another for worship and prayer and fasting. The method that they learned from their teacher, a method that they learned, the promise that was made by the one that they professed to follow, by Jesus, who said, if you search, you will find. If you knock, a door will open. If you seek, if you ask, you will discover. You will know. See, Jesus learned his method, through his ancestors as well, through looking back at what his ancestors had done and how they had prayed. And looking at the psalmist, we hear that same message, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow you," the psalmist sings. "Give me an understanding and I will keep your law. I will obey it with my heart. Direct me on your path and I will find delight and turn my heart towards you." Over and over, the psalms sing out about a heart that is yearning, a heart that is longing, a heart that desires to know God, to know the holy, to know the sacred. See, Jesus knew his heart's purpose. He understood his mission through the journey of his ancestors who have conveyed that message to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. The ancients understood that the heart was the center of our being. They understood the heart as the place to find our soul's longing, our sense of identity, the heart that would connect us to the Holy One, Creator of all. You see, St. Augustine said that God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. Knowing this is the essence of our prayers. The posture of our body, the words that we use, have no significance in and of themselves, for it is the heart that prays. The heart is the voice to which God hears and the prayers to which God answers. Why do we pray so much with our lips, but not with our hearts? Augustine says, "Ask God to open your heart and kindle within you that spark of love, for that is prayer." The path to the holy, the path to our being, is an inward journey. Where we find ourselves, where we find our purpose that is woven into the sacred of all the universe. They understood that. They found that. Jesus knew the way. Jesus knew the truth. Jesus knew the light of God's love was found in that love that dwells and rises up and centers and claims us and names us. It's who we are. It's whose we are. And his followers knew that his way would be their way. His method would be their method as well. And so they gathered together in prayer and fasting and worshiping to hear the sacred. They knew that before they could just go out and do, they had to pause and listen. They had to pause and open the eyes of their hearts, the ears of their beings. And then, only then, they could go forth to do, to serve, to be what they were called to be. We go and do because we've paused and listened. And so we gather. We gather as a community to remember, oh yes, who we are, to remember whose we are, to remember the ways that confirm that and the ways that remind us and the ways that lead us constantly into this knowing. We gather to remember the teachings of the One. We gather to remember that Jesus called his friends and family to the table. That Jesus calls his friends and families to the table. And those who were included as Jesus' friends were the rich and the poor. They were those with hands that were well calloused from working hard, and they were those whose hands were still silk and smooth. They were the young and the old, the male and the female. They were those who had been accepted by others and those who had been excluded by others. And Jesus called them to the table. And we remember On the last night that he shared with them, he took the bread and he gave thanks. And he broke the bread and he gave the grain of hope to the people that he loved. And he said, take and eat and do this and remember. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember how. Remember the holy seated within you. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and again he gave thanks. And he gave it to his loved ones and he said, take and drink of this, all of you, and remember. Remember. And so, in remembrance of these, the teachings, the mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving as we proclaim the mystery of our faith.